What in the world is going on? I'm Greg Patton. Stay tuned.
You're locked into WHCB 91.5 FM.
Sometimes the storms of life will hit you from out of nowhere as you ride out life's sudden storms.
Make sure you keep it right here. WHCB 91.5 FM, the Tri-Cities Christian voice.
God calls you to come out of the darkness and into the light. Only in the light of God do we find the wisdom and guidance we need to live fruitful and productive lives. Let God's light shine brightly, and you will never be left in the dark. WHCB 91.5 FM.
Okay, it's quiz time. Just to start off here, President Donald Trump wrapped up a five-hour nuclear summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un with surprising warm words and hope for a bright new future. Now, exactly what happened in those 5 hours? Do you have any idea? For Kim's isolated and impoverished nation of North Korea, what's going to happen next? Yet Donald Trump immediately faced pointed questions at home about whether he got little and gave away much in his push to make a deal with that young autocrat, including an agreement to halt U.S. military exercises when South Korea, that surprised a few people. Meeting with stage ceremony on a Singapore island, Trump and Kim signed a joint statement Tuesday agreeing to work toward denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, although the timeline and the tactics, all of that very unclear. Trump promised later to end war games with their ally South Korea, a concession to Kim that appeared to catch the Pentagon and the Seoul government completely off guard, and sowed a little bit of confusion among Trump's Republican supporters back here in Washington. So again, what happened in those 5 hours? People kind of shaking their head at this one today. What is going on? A federal judge said yesterday that AT&T's $85.4 billion purchase of Time Warner is legal. It is? That clears the path for a deal that gives the pay TV provider ownership of cable channels like HBO and CNN, as well as film studio Warner Brothers. U.S. District Judge Richard Leon did not impose conditions on the merger's approval either. He also urged the government not to seek a stay when issuing his decision in a closed-door room with reporters. Wow, this guy, I'm pretty important here. AT&T General Counsel David McAtee said the company was happy, no kidding, happy with the results. Bet they were. Shares of Time Warner jumped roughly 5%. Assistant Attorney Macon Delrame said the Justice Department was disappointed. That's their operative word. Disappointed with this decision. We continue to believe that the pay TV market will be less competitive and less innovative as a result of the proposed merger of AT&T and Time Warner. California's 168-year-old run as a single entity, hugging the continent's edge for hundreds of miles and sprawling east across mountains and into the desert, could come to an end next year. What? That's as a result of a controversial plan to split the Golden State into three jurisdictions. It qualified yesterday for the November 6th ballot. If a majority of the voters who cast their ballots agree, a long and contentious process would begin for three separate states to take the place of California, with one primarily centered around Los Angeles and the other two divvying up the counties to the north and to the south. Completion of the radical plan, far from certain, given its many hurdles at judicial, state, and federal levels, would make absolute history. California, three different states. Conservatives on Capitol Hill are anxiously awaiting the imminent release of a report from the Department of Justice Inspector General scrutinizing the law enforcement agency's handling of its investigation into Hillary's private email server. A spate of recent press reports suggesting that the document's going to be critical to the top DOJ brass has raised expectations among some of President Trump's most ardent defenders that it will provide fuel for an ongoing broadside against that department. Congress will not likely see the document until shortly before made public on Thursday, with its official conclusion remaining the subject of intense speculation up until then. Isn't that interesting? This is the new America. Representative Barry Loudermilk of Georgia bought body armor. Yeah. Representative Greg Harper hired an armed security guard company for events back home in Mississippi. Representative Dan Donovan fortified his Brooklyn and Staten Island offices with security cameras and buzzer systems. Yep, it's the new normal here in America for members of the U.S. Congress, 1 year after that horrific congressional baseball shooting that almost took the life of Representative Steve Scalise and his former Hill staffer Matt Mitka. Members are keenly aware now that serving the public has put a target on their backs. Well, hey, everybody today has a target on their back, don't they? The true reality is, if somebody wanted to do me harm, they could do that probably with relative ease, and that's really sad, said Representative Chuck Fleischman of Tennessee, a New York City native. The threats against them have skyrocketed. In 2016, there were a total of 902 threatening incidents of communication against members of Congress. In 2017, over 2,000. Again, sad, but it is the new America. More good news here. Overall enrollment in the nation's food stamp program has dipped to its lowest level in the last 8 years, according to the latest stats by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The latest data reveals that enrollment in the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, called SNAP, the federal government program that administers those food stamps, dropped to 40,083,954 in March. The last time enrollment in the food stamp program reached that level was February of 2010. Ma'am, you can't have that. It belongs to NASA. What? A woman has sued NASA, claiming to be the rightful owner of a small vial of moon dust, supposedly given to her by astronaut Neil Armstrong, first man on the moon. The lawsuit was filed under the U.S. District Court of Kansas last week by Laura Murray Sicko. She claims that when she was 10 years old, her mom handed her a glass vial with a rubber stopper containing light gray dust, along with one of her father's business cards. On the back of the card, there was a message that reads, "To Laura Ann Murray, best of luck. Neil Armstrong, Apollo 11. She said her mother assured her the vial was a sample taken from Armstrong after his trip back from being on the moon. And an expert apparently scrutinized the note and believes Armstrong's signature is real. Well, that's a fine how do you do.
You're locked into WHCB 91.5 FM.
Wishing a happy Father's Day to great fathers everywhere.
The Instant Society. Fast food. Instant cash. Instant entertainment on hundreds of channels. Instant information via the internet. Microwave meals in seconds. This works fine until we encounter the not-so-instant God. No instant answer from God is often interpreted as no answer at all. It can seem that God does not care, that he's distant. We have grown so accustomed to instant everything that when something actually makes us have to wait, we think something's not working. If it's not right here, right now, something must be broken. Or maybe God doesn't really care at all. But even in depression, God is still good. In loneliness, God is still good. In loss and disaster, God is still a good God. And even in silence and waiting, do we rediscover that God is still good. It's only when we release our microwave expectations of God do we find out that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good.
This is WHCB 91.5 FM.
Well, part of the new America is the millennials. They have big dreams. They expect to make it big, I mean really big someday, with more than 50% reporting that they believe they will eventually become millionaires, according to a new study. Despite having crushing student loans, 20% never expect to pay them off, credit card and other debt, people born between 1982 and 2000 share a confidence when it comes to their financial future. Young people are optimistic about the future. According to a new report, on average, survey respondents expect to land a job in their chosen field and be completely financially independent by age 25. I wonder what they're smoking. Caution to you people in Arkansas. A hardy, invasive species of tick that survived a New Jersey winter and subsequently traversed the mid-Atlantic has mysteriously come to Arkansas. No one's sure how the longhorn tick native to East Asia arrived in this country, nor how it made its way to the middle of the continent. The Arkansas Agriculture Department said late Monday researchers at Oklahoma State University had confirmed a tick found on a dog in Benton County in the far northwestern corner of the state was indeed a longhorn tick. Until then, the bug had only been reported in New Jersey, Virginia, and West Virginia in the past. It's a mystery to a lot of people trying to figure out how exactly it got here. I would want to know what we do about it personally. In health news, well, this is kind of depressive. 1 in 3 Americans are taking prescription and over-the-counter drugs, such as birth control pills, antacids, and common heart medications, that may raise the risk of depression, according to researchers. Since the drugs are so common, people may be unaware of their potential depressive effects, according to American Medical Association Journal. Many may be surprised to learn that their medications, despite having nothing to do with mood or anxiety or any other condition normally associated with depression, can indeed increase their risk of experiencing depressive symptoms and may lead to depression diagnosis. I didn't know that. I'm just going to suffer with this acid reflux thing. 33%. Might want to check that out. The federal government has collected a record $1,143,141,000,000 in individual income taxes through the first 8 months of fiscal 2018. That's just incredible. And despite the record individual income tax collections, the federal government still ran a deficit of $532 billion over the same 8 months. Hard to get your mind around that, isn't it? Oh, and here's another. The premise of an art fair is that a collector can walk through its aisles and stumble across an artwork that catches his or her eye and just buy that thing. As a consequence, prices at most fairs are comparatively low, with work rarely surpassing the $2 million mark. After all, very few people can afford a $1 million impulse buy, right? The exception of that is the Art Basel in Switzerland, coming up June the 14th, where dealers tend to bring show-stopping art at a much higher price point. This has always been the premier art fair in all the world, says Brent Gorvey, a co-founder of Levy Gorvey, which has a 1982 collage by Jean-Michel Basquiat in its booth, and it's selling for $17.5 million. And another painting there by Marc Gajon, an offering $12.7 million. It has always been the tradition here that dealers would ultimately hold their very best work for this fair. I think I'll head on over there with my drawing of a stick man. It's not the best, but...
This is WHCB 91.5 FM.
Up until about 100 years ago, daily life was pretty simple. Most people were content with the basics of life. A modest house, maybe a horse or two, food and clothes. Ah, what simpler times. Now we're surrounded by stuff. Lots of stuff. Several phones in the house. A smartphone for every member of the family. A big flat screen HD TV with cable or satellite. Computers and tablets for every member of the family. One or two cars, minivans or SUVs. Then comes the pressure and stress of paying for all those services. Plus repair and maintenance for all that stuff. Maybe we could learn something from life 100 years ago. Do you really need all those tablets, video games, and Kindles? Could you sell off one of the cars and get a lesser one without the payment? Maybe a slightly smaller house? A lot of people these days are learning to live more simply, and the results are fewer bills, less stress, less fighting about money, and a little more tranquility. Maybe it's time to take a serious look at your life and get a plan to get simpler times back into your household. A message for life. We are WHCB 91.5 FM.
I know, it's right there in the book. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man, woman, child be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Is that instantaneous? And all those old temptations. Wow, 4 packs of cigarettes a day, nearly an alcoholic, a massive Playboy magazine collection, all kinds of swearing. What a filthy mouth man I was. And so I get saved. All that stuff goes away. The Bible talks about working out your own salvation. Does it? What does that mean? I have to work my way to heaven? No. It's just this new life in Christ. It doesn't come instantaneous. Sometimes there's a battle, and those temptations. Oh, it's so hard in the first few days, weeks, months of your conversion to Jesus Christ. He is now your father. Satan is in the background. But my, you have a huge target on your back. Christian, here it comes. Temptation. One of the worst things in all the world for you. Temptation is powerful, but my friend, you know what? You can win. You can overcome temptation. This one word encompasses all of the greatest threats to a consistent and what would be considered a successful Christian walk today. Let it be known that you cannot resist temptation out of existence. That is, temptation will always be a part of your life, my life, but you can refuse to give in to it through the power of Jesus Christ. Even in the best of circumstances, we can make the worst of decisions, can't we? Paul will make that argument that our self-assurance is really Satan's playground. Paul reviews really five steps downward, a spiral downward of yielding to temptation. You may find some of those steps surprising, but valid nonetheless. You want to know what they are? Of course you do. Don't you want to have victory in Jesus? We all do. So let's take a quick look at some of these. First, we lust. Yes, we do. Bob Jones Sr. said, it's one thing to have the bird land on your head. It's another thing to let it nest there. Lust, most men suffer from that. The miraculous becomes boring and commonplace. The miraculous whets our appetite for more of God. But if we don't seek Him in our hunger, we're going to find other junk to fulfill those desires, aren't we? And then, of course, there's idolatry. When the thing we lust for becomes the object of our worship and the focus of our attention, then it becomes an idol. Willpower is quite destructive because it often places our gaze on the very thing that we are trying to resist. Number three, committing the act, whatever that is. For the Israelites, it was sexual immorality. For us, it could be anything that breaks down our relationship with God. Number four, the word commit. That's a significant word. It only infers that we take action once, but that we resolve to give in to a particular behavior. We commit ourselves to doing this evil thing. Beyond committal comes a change in our spiritual character in which we tempt Christ. That is, we begin to question the very beliefs that might have saved us to begin with. We lose our convictions. And then finally, here's one as old as the hills, we just complain. This is more than a simple comment. It describes the heart's calloused reaction to self, God, and the world around us. The old gospel song proclaimed, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly take control. Sin will leave you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Are you on the downward spiral of sin and rebellion today? Whichever of these five symptoms describes you, you need to bail out of your rebellion, now today, and repent before Almighty God. Confess your sin and return to God's overwhelming grace. Oh, it's good stuff. So are you one? You want to do it? You want to overcome temptation? You got to rely on God's precious promises, my friend. Paul gives us some great promises. The battle for purity always begins in the mind. Remember Tim LaHaye's great book, Battle for the Mind? That's where you've got to replace the lust, the idolatry, and questioning of your convictions with God's alternative thoughts. What do you mean? Well, number one, if you think you can handle temptation on your own, you better think again. Number two, every temptation you face has been faced many times before, so you're not alone. No, you're not. Number three, God is faithful. Enough said. He'll be there for you, never leaving nor forsaking you in the heat of any battle, anywhere, anytime. Number four, God will never allow you to be tempted beyond your ability. And that removes our excuse. It does. But it also removes our fatalism. That's a killer. And then number five, God will always give an alternative thought, action, or attitude that will rescue you. God always gives an escape route. You'll be able to bear temptation, and this literally means to stand up under the weight of temptation. My friend, perhaps today you feel trapped in some habitual sin. You feel too weak to overcome temptation. It's possible you're even questioning whether the battle against temptation is worth it at all. Let me assure you that it is. The reward will be greater intimacy with God, and a greater reward when you get to heaven. You've been entrusted with the years of your life, however many they may be. Trust the great promises of God and determine today to overcome in the power of Christ. After all, He's worth it.
WHCB 91.5 FM.
Maybe you never really thought about how powerful a memory could be. Well, you're about to find out. Just listen to these catchy tunes and see what happens.
These days are all. Where everybody knows your name.
Oh, you never saw men in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Just a few seconds of the song, and for a split second, you were transported back in time. Sights, sounds, and feelings just popped out of nowhere. Now, those songs brought back memories of some old TV shows, but the songs we play do much more. As they get in your head and heart, you get plugged into God. Or you might hear a song that'll take you back in time where you had more passion for the things of God. Then you start to make your way back. That's powerful. So keep your dial locked here every day and experience the power of a song. You're locked into WHCB 91.5 FM.
Amazes me what interests us. I think a couple of the networks carried this. Sportsmanship stole the show during a Minnesota high school baseball game last week. This was just on last night, however, on the network news. Pitcher Ty Cohn struck out his childhood buddy, Jack Cocone, who was playing for the opposing team. The pitch won the game for Mounds View High School, and his fellow players ran on the field with a great celebration. But instead of joining the party right away, the pitcher, Cohn, walked in the opposite direction, walked right toward Cohn, the man he had just struck out, and gave him a long, big hug. The pitcher later said it just seemed like the right thing to do, and he was correct. Now that is sportsmanship. Genevieve Villacava loved teaching, really did. Loved her students, too. Now 7 years after she has died, they're learning just how much she loved it all. The teacher in Dumont, New Jersey, devoted 45 years of her life to helping students with learning disabilities. After her retirement back in 1990, Villacava continued to visit the school district for which she worked, checking on the classes, sometimes stopping by the superintendent's office. Villacava died in 2011. This past April, the Dumont Public School System received something they never, ever expected from her estate, a check for $1 million. The former educator had no children, and her immediate family of her own had amassed a small fortune through her exceptional savings program. She left the astonishing donation in her will to fund scholarships for special ed kids seeking post-secondary education. Administration said one day she quietly told me she accumulated a large sum of money and she planned on donating it. The superintendent, Emmanuel Trigolo, said that he didn't think much about it, didn't give it much thought. He thought it was a good gesture. But $1 million. Now that woman cared for others. How about us, Christian? Some kind of challenge out there today, huh? That's it. Another edition of Hello World for this a Wednesday. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for telling others about the broadcast. News, information, comment from a Christian perspective every day at this time. Again, continue to tell others about the broadcast, and thank you so much for your support. So until tomorrow, same time, same place, right here. I'm Greg Patton. God bless and enjoy the remainder of your day.